New American Streamlined Destinations by Bernard Hartley and Peter Viney. Revised by Irene Frankel and Peter Viney. Published and copyright Oxford University Press, 1996. Unit 1. Arrivals.
Air Streamline Flight 604, departing at 2:45 for JFK Airport in New York City, is now boarding at Gate 3. Passengers with tickets on Air Streamline Flight 604 at 2:45 to New York, please proceed to Gate 3.
Excuse me, Dolores Cotton?
Yes?
Hi, I'm Brad Jordan from Lemon Computers. How do you do?
How do you do? I'm glad to meet you, Brad. Thank you for coming to meet us.
It's a pleasure. How was the trip?
Fine. Oh, I'd like you to meet Ron Eng. He's our sales manager.
How do you do, Ron?
This is the last call for Global Airlines Flight 373, departing at 2:30 for Houston. Passengers on Global Flight 373 at 2:30 to Houston should board now at Gate 1.
Karen!
Hi, Jody. How are you doing?
Great. How are you? I haven't seen you for ages.
I'm all right. Are you here to meet somebody?
No. My mom just left for Miami.
Do you have time for coffee?
Sure. I'd love some.
Crossland Airlines announces that Flight 127 to Houston and El Paso is now scheduled to depart at 3 o'clock from Gate 7. Passengers on Crossland 127 are advised that their flight will depart from Gate 7 at 3 o'clock.
Margaret, hi.
Hello, Carol. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you getting along?
Fine, thanks. How are Larry and the kids?
Everybody's fine. My car's just outside. Let me take one of your bags.
Oh, thanks. Careful, it's heavy.
Global Airlines announces that Flight 881 to New York City's LaGuardia Airport at 2:55 will depart from Gate 2 and will start boarding in 10 minutes. At this time, will passengers with small children and those who need special help in boarding please go to Gate 2 for Global Flight 881 to New York LaGuardia at 2:55.
Hi, what time is your next flight to New York?
2:45, Flight 604 to LaGuardia Airport. There's space available.
What's the one-way fare?
It's $228.70 with tax.
Okay, there you go. Put it on my Visa card, please.
All right. Just a second.
Air Streamline Flight 403 to Atlanta, with connections to Miami and other points south, will depart on schedule at 3:05 from Gate 4. We repeat. Air Streamline 403 will depart as scheduled at 3:05 for Atlanta. Passengers should make their seat selection at Gate 4 prior to boarding, which will begin in 5 minutes.
Well, hi there.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, fine. Excuse me. Do I know you from somewhere?
Sure, it's me, Rick Balestrina.
I'm sorry. I don't think I know you.
Aren't you Jose Cortez?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, excuse me. I thought you were someone else. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Unit 1. Listening. Listen to the airport announcements. Look at the example and complete the chart in the same way. 1.
Air Streamline Flight 604, departing at 2:45 for JFK Airport in New York City, is now boarding at Gate 3. Passengers with tickets on Air Streamline Flight 604 at 2:45 to New York, please proceed to Gate 3.
2.
This is the last call for Global Airlines Flight 373, departing at 2:30 for Houston. Passengers on Global Flight 373 at 2:30 to Houston should board now at Gate 1.
Three.
Crossland Airlines announces that Flight 127 to Houston and El Paso is now scheduled to depart at 3 o'clock from Gate 7. Passengers on Crossland 127 are advised that their flight will depart from Gate 7 at 3 o'clock.
4.
Global Airlines announces that Flight 881 to New York City's LaGuardia Airport at 2:55 will depart from Gate 2 and will start boarding in 10 minutes. At this time, will passengers with small children and those who need special help in boarding please go to Gate 2 for Global Flight 881 to New York LaGuardia at 2:55.
5.
Air Streamline Flight 403 to Atlanta, with connections to Miami and other points south, will depart on schedule at 3:05 from Gate 4. We repeat, Air Streamline 403 will depart as scheduled at 3:05 for Atlanta. Passengers should make their seat selection at Gate 4 prior to boarding, which will begin in 5 minutes.
Unit 2. Is everything ready?
This Is Your Life is a very popular show on American TV. Every week, they invite a well-known person to a TV studio. The person doesn't know that he or she will be the subject of the program. The host greets the person with, "This Is Your Life." The person then meets friends and relatives from the past and present. They tape the program before a live audience. The taping begins at 8 o'clock. It's 6:45 now, and the director is checking the preparations with her new production assistant. The subject of tonight's show will be an actor, William Payne. The host, as usual, will be Joe Campanero.
Okay, we're bringing Bill Payne here in a rented limousine. He thinks he's coming to tape a talk show appearance. We've told the driver to arrive at exactly 7:55. The program begins at 8 o'clock. At that time, Bill will be walking to the studio. Joe will start his introduction at 8:01, and Bill will get here at 8:02. Joe will meet him at the door. Camera 4 will be there. Then he'll take him to that sofa. It'll be on camera 3. Bill will be sitting there during the whole program. For most of the show, Joe will be sitting next to the sofa or standing on that X. He'll be on camera 2. The guests will come through that door, talk to Bill and Joe, and then go backstage. Now, is that clear?
Yes, but there is one thing.
Well, what is it?
Where will the guests be waiting before they come on?
The green room, 401. Stephanie will be sitting there with them. They'll be watching the show on a monitor. She'll cue them 2 minutes before they come on.
Okay, I think that covers everything.
Unit 3. This Is Your Life.
Good evening and welcome to This Is Your Life. I'm your host, Joe Campanero. We're waiting for the subject of tonight's program. He's one of the world's leading actors, and he thinks he's coming here for a talk show. I think I hear him now. Yes, here he is. William Payne, This Is Your Life.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. Not me.
Yes, you. Come in with me now. Ladies and gentlemen, William Payne. Sit right over here, Bill. Let's begin at the beginning.
You were born in Providence, Rhode Island on July 2nd, 1958. You were the youngest of six children. Your mother was a model, and your father worked at a furniture store. Of course, your name was Herman Wartsky then. Do you recognize this voice?
I remember Herm, Bill, when he was two. He used to cry and scream all day.
Roseanne!
All the way from Tokyo, we flew her here to be with you tonight, your sister, Roseanne Wartsky Tatsukawa.
Rosie, why didn't you tell me?
Yes, you haven't seen each other for 9 years. Take a seat next to him, Roseanne. You went to school in Providence and got your diploma from Whitney High School in 1976. Do you remember this voice?
Herman! Stop daydreaming! I asked you a question!
Incredible! It's Mr. Thiessen!
Your English teacher, Mr. Erwin Thiessen. Was Bill a good student, Mr. Thiessen?
Well, not really. No, he was the worst in the class. But he was a great actor, even in those days. He could imitate all the teachers.
Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. You can talk to Bill later. Well, Bill, you went on to the Yale School of Drama in 1978 and finished in 1982. In 1983, you went to Hollywood. Do you know this voice?
Say, Bill, can you ride a horse yet?
Rita!
Yes, Rita Colon, who's flown in from New York, where she's appearing in the new musical, The Romance Dance.
Bill, darling, it's so wonderful to see you. Hello, Joe, darling. Bill and I were in a movie together in 1984. Bill had to learn to ride a horse and, well, Bill doesn't like horses very much.
Like them? I'm scared to death of them.
Anyway, poor Bill practiced for 2 weeks. Then he went to the director, it was John Galveston, and said, "What do you want me to do?" John said, "I want you to fall off the horse." Oh, Bill was furious. He said, "What? Fall off? I've been practicing for 2 weeks. I could fall off the first day without any practice."
Unit 4, The Louisville Rally.
The Louisville Rally, which started in 1991, is quickly becoming one of the most famous car events in the United States. Competitors leave from several points around North America and follow routes of approximately equal length to a rallying point, which will be Kansas City this year. Then they follow a single route to the finish. The rally consists of 6 daily stages, beginning on Sunday morning, and each competitor will have driven over 2,000 miles by Friday night. It is not a race. The winner is decided on a points system. Drivers have to maintain an average speed between control points, and there are also special tests of driving skill in different conditions on the way.
Rally news from CSN, Cable Sports Network. Now here's a report from Bob Costello.
Hello from Billings, Montana. It's 9 o'clock on Monday night, September 25th, and the Pacific Northwest competitors in the Louisville Rally have just arrived here at the end of the second stage in this year's contest. Eric Rogers, who's driving a Pontiac Grand Am, is in the lead. Chris Sullivan, who won last year's rally, crashed near Spokane, Washington this morning. Chris was not hurt, but he will be unable to continue. 7 other drivers have withdrawn due to bad weather conditions. Tonight, the drivers who left from Seattle on Sunday morning will be heading into Wyoming.
Unit 5, The Romance Connection.
Welcome to The Romance Connection, where old-fashioned romance meets modern technology. Now here's your host, Joel Price.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Our first guest tonight is Roxanne Matthews. Roxanne is a financial analyst. She likes skiing, snorkeling, and eating in good restaurants. Roxanne has been to all the 4-star restaurants in the area. She loves going to the theater and the movies. She dates about once every 2 weeks. But she's tired of dating men who won't make a commitment. Hello, Roxanne.
Hi, Joel. It's nice to be here.
Now let's see the tapes that Roxanne saw. And then you'll get a chance to vote on who she should go out with. First, there was Mike.
Hi, Roxanne. Let me tell you a little about myself. I really enjoy cooking, and I'd love to have someone to cook for. I started painting a few months ago, watercolors of sunsets at the beach, and I'm really pretty good, if I must say so myself. I like playing tennis, going skiing, and going hiking. I'm quite an athlete, really. I'm not interested in rock climbing or skydiving. I'm scared of falling, but I don't mind falling in love.
Well, Mike sounds like quite a romantic. Next, there was George.
Good evening, Roxanne. I enjoy getting dressed up and going out on the town. Dinner in fine restaurants, the theater or concerts, dancing. I'm always trying new places. I get bored going to the same restaurants all the time. I also like driving fast cars and listening to my favorite CDs while I drive. I'd love having someone in the passenger seat sharing the experience with me.
Well, what do you think of that, Roxanne? And finally, there was Tim.
Hi, Roxanne. I love traveling to faraway places and seeing new sights. I've recently come back from a trip to the pyramids in Egypt. They're amazing. They make you believe that anything's possible. Now I'm interested in learning more about the ancient Egyptians. I enjoy eating great ethnic food and meeting people from other cultures. I gave up traveling with other people because no one I knew had my sense of adventure, but I'm not giving up looking for someone.
Well, there you have the three candidates for Roxanne. Now, audience, which one do you think Roxanne should go out with? Mike, George, or Tim?
Unit 7. Battle of Sheridan Street.
Channel 7 News Desk.
We have two reports tonight on that continuing story from Sheridan Street. First, let's go to reporter Alan Nelson at City Hall.
Report 1.
Thanks, Katie. Well, right now, the City Housing Authority isn't working on anything except the Battle of Sheridan Street. It's one woman and her pets versus City Hall, and so far, she's winning. Ms. Hilda Martinez, the director of the Housing Authority, has agreed to talk with us. Ms. Martinez, has the situation changed since yesterday?
No, Alan, it hasn't. Mrs. Hamilton is still in her house, and she still refuses to talk to us.
What are you going to do?
It's a difficult situation. We'd like her to come out peacefully. The police don't intend to arrest her, but she's a very stubborn woman.
Stubborn? Well, it is her home.
Yes, and it's been her home for a long time, I know. But nobody else refused to move. You see, we're going to build 400 apartments in that area. We expect to have about 1,200 people living there when the project is finished. You have to balance that against one person and a pack of dogs.
But Mrs. Hamilton was born in that house, and she is trying to give a home to the homeless dogs of this city.
Of course. But we have promised to relocate her and one of her dogs to a modern apartment in a senior citizens project. The other dogs will go to the ASPCA.
So, what happens next?
We can't wait forever. We want the ASPCA to take all the dogs first. Then we hope to talk to Mrs. Hamilton and convince her to move. We have to do something soon.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Live from City Hall, this has been Alan Nelson for Channel 7 News Desk. And now to Cindy Wong, who is with Mrs. Florence Hamilton at her home on Sheridan Street.
Unit 7. Listening. Listen to Report 2, Cindy Wong's interview with Mrs. Hamilton, and answer the following question. What does Mrs. Hamilton want?
Report 2.
I'm standing in front of the only house still occupied on the 800 block of Sheridan Street. We have managed to set up an interview with Mrs. Florence Hamilton, the occupant of the house. She has decided to speak to us, but she has demanded to see me alone except for a camera crew of two. Mrs. Hamilton, our viewers would like to hear your side of the story.
There's not much to say. They want me to move. I was born here, and I intend to die here. It's as simple as that. Down, Caesar, sit! Cleo, sit!
But the housing authority really needs to have this land, and they have arranged to relocate you.
I know, but I can't take all my dogs. Just one. I love them all, and I need to have company. They're all I have. Come back, Calpurnia! Sit! Sit!
How long can you hold out here?
Oh, I have plenty of food. People bring me dog food. The city has threatened to cut off my water and lights, but I'll be all right.
Thank you, Mrs. Hamilton.
You can tell the city for me that I want a house where I can keep my dogs. Not a apartment for senior citizens.
This has been Cindy Wong talking to Mrs. Florence Hamilton, who is fighting to keep her home and pets. For Channel 7 News Desk, back to you in the studio, Katie.
Unit 9. Marriage Counseling.
Jonathan and Barbara Wiener have been married for nearly 15 years. They have two children, Gary, aged 11, and Debbie, 9. During the last couple of years, Jonathan and Barbara haven't been very happy. They argue all the time. Barbara's sister advised them to go to a marriage counselor. A marriage counselor helps married couples to talk about their problems and to solve them, if possible. Sometimes Jonathan and Barbara meet with the counselor separately, and other times they meet with her together. This is Jonathan and Barbara's third session with Dr. Joyce Sisters, the counselor.
Oh, come in, Barbara. Have a seat. Didn't Jonathan come?
Yes, he's waiting outside. He didn't want to come this week, but, well, I persuaded him to come.
I see. How have things been going?
Oh, about the same. We still seem to have fights all the time.
What do you fight about?
What don't we fight about, you mean? We fight about everything. He's so inconsiderate.
How so?
Well, I'll give you an example. You know, when the children started school, I wanted to go back to teaching again, so I got a job. Well, anyway, by the time I've picked Gary and Debbie up at my sister's house, she picks them up at school, I only get home about half an hour before Jonathan.
Yes?
Well, when he gets home, he expects me to run around and get dinner on the table. He never does anything in the house. And last Friday, he invited three of his friends to come over for a drink. He didn't tell me to expect them. I don't think that's right, do you?
Barbara, I'm not here to pass judgment. I'm here to listen.
I'm sorry. And he's so messy. He's worse than the kids. I always have to remind him to pick up his clothes. He just throws them on the floor. After all, I'm not his mother, and I have my own career. Actually, I think that's part of the trouble. You see, I make more money than he does.
Unit 9. Listening. Listen to Jonathan's session with Dr. Sisters.
Jonathan, I'm so glad you could come.
Hello, Dr. Sisters. Well, I'll be honest. Barbara had to force me to come, really.
Does it embarrass you to talk about your problems?
Yes, it does. But I guess we need to talk to somebody.
Barbara feels that you... well, that you resent her job.
I don't know. I'd like her to stay home, but she's very smart. So really, I encouraged her to go back to work. With the kids in school, she needs something to do. And I suppose we need the money.
How do you share the housework?
I try to help. I always help her with the dishes, and I help Gary and Debbie to do their homework while she makes dinner. But she doesn't think that's enough. What do you think?
I'm not here to give an opinion, Jonathan.
I think we're both too tired, that's all. In the evenings, we're both too tired to talk. And Barbara, she never allows me to suggest anything about the house or about the kids. We always have the same arguments. She has her own opinions, and that's it. Last night, we had another fight. She's forbidden the kids to ride their bikes to school.
Why?
She thinks they're too young to ride in traffic. But then she always complains about picking them up at her sister's. I mean, they can't be tied to their mother's apron strings all their lives, can they?
Unit 10. At Home with the Baldwins.
The Baldwin family is like many contemporary American families. Both parents work. Evan is a lawyer, Lynn is a photographer. Zach, 12, is in 7th grade, and Chloe, 8, is in 4th grade.
7:30 a.m.
Zachary, are you ready for breakfast?
No, Dad. I have to make my bed first.
Okay, but hurry up. Mom's making hot cereal. By the way, what do you want for lunch today?
Can I have turkey? I'm tired of tuna.
No problem.
Mom, I can't find my red sweater, and I want to wear it today.
I think it's in the hamper. I'm going to do the laundry later, so you can wear it tomorrow. Can I make a suggestion? Why don't you wear your pink sweater today?
Oh, all right. Can you do my hair now?
In a minute. I have to get Zach. His breakfast is getting cold.
Is Daddy making dinner tonight?
Uh-huh.
Can we have spaghetti and meatballs?
Okay. I have to make a shopping list. I'm going to do the shopping on my way home. Would you check to see if we have any spaghetti, please?
7:30 p.m.
Zachary, have you done your homework yet?
Yeah, Mom. I did it right after karate class.
Great. Let me look at it.
Here, Mom. Here's my homework.
You did a good job, Zach. Did you have to do anything else?
I also had to do some reading in my history book. And I had to do a crossword puzzle for science. It was easy, though.
You're sure you didn't make any mistakes?
Yep. I'm positive.
Hey, Chloe, what are you doing?
I'm making a picture for the story I wrote in school today.
Oh, yeah? Terrific. Can I see it? Oh, it's very pretty. I like the colors.
Thanks, Dad.
Chloe, go look in the kitchen. Is Mom making coffee?
No, Daddy. She's doing the dishes.
Oh, I guess I can wait a few minutes. I have to make a call.
Are you calling Grandma?
No, it's a business call. I told someone I'd call him before 8 o'clock tonight. I hate to do business from home, but he's a special case.
Unit 11. Sounding polite.
We use words like please, thank you, and you're welcome to be polite. But we also communicate politeness with our voice using stress, intonation, and tone. Stress is how loud syllables or words are. Intonation is the way the voice rises and falls. Tone is the manner of our expression.
Unit 11. Sounding polite.
We use words like please, thank you, and you're welcome to be polite. But we also communicate politeness with our voice using stress, intonation, and tone. Stress is how loud syllables or words are. Intonation is the way the voice rises and falls. Tone is the manner of our expression. Listen to these sentences. The words are the same, but the message is different. The first is polite. The second is not. Polite. Could you hold the door open, please? Impolite. Could you hold the door open, please?
Unit 11, Listening 1. Listen to these sentences. Write P for polite, I for impolite.
Would you turn down the radio, please?
Would you turn down the radio, please?
Would you turn down the radio, please?
Open the door, please.
Open the door, please.
Open the door, please.
Could you make a copy of this?
Could you make a copy of this?
Could you make a copy of this? Can I use your stapler?
Can I use your stapler?
Can I use your stapler?
Would you please take our picture?
Would you please take our picture?
Would you please take our picture?
Can I get change for a dollar?
Can I get change for a dollar?
Can I get change for a dollar?
Unit 11, Listening 2. Listen to the conversations. The sentence below each picture is what the speaker will say next. Predict how the speaker will say the sentence.
Hurry up. We're going to be late. The train leaves in half an hour.
Really? I thought we had plenty of time.
Could you walk a little faster, please?
Hello. I'd like to deposit this check.
Certainly. Oh, you forgot to endorse it.
Can I use that pen?
Kevin!
Oh, hi, Dad. What's up?
Would you mind turning off the TV?
Unit 11. Polite requests.
Mike?
Yeah?
Close the door, will you? It's freezing in here.
Sure. I'm sorry.
Karen?
Hmm?
Lend me 50 cents. I left my purse in the office.
Oh, okay. Here.
Thanks.
Excuse me. Could you pass the sugar?
Of course. There you are.
Thank you very much.
Do you need some help?
Oh, thank you. Would you mind putting my suitcase up on the rack?
Not at all. There you go.
Oh, thank you so much. You're very kind.
Excuse me, it's stuffy in here. Do you mind if I open the window?
No, I don't mind at all. I'd like some fresh air, too.
Excuse me, Lorraine. Could I ask you something?
Sure, Wendy. What is it?
Can I have the day off next Friday?
Well, we're very busy now. Is it important?
Yeah, it is, really. It's my cousin's wedding.
Oh, well, of course you can.
Can I help you, ma'am?
I beg your pardon?
Can I help you, ma'am?
Oh, no thanks. I'm just looking.
Good morning.
Good morning. I wonder if you can help me. I'm looking for a Father's Day present for my father.
Have you thought about a nice tie?
Maybe. Could you show me some of your ties?
Excuse me.
Yes?
I wonder if you'd mind handing me one of those cans of peas on the top shelf. I can't reach it.
Oh, sure. There you are.
Thank you very much.
Unit 12. A trip to Los Angeles.
James Hall has a new job with Lemon Computers in Philadelphia. He's 22 and just out of college. As part of his training, he has to spend 6 weeks at company headquarters near Los Angeles. It's his first business trip, and he's packing his suitcase. He lives with his parents, and his mother is helping him.
Jimmy, haven't you finished packing yet?
No, Mom, but it's all right. There isn't much to do.
Well, I'll give you a hand. Oh, there isn't much room left. Is there anywhere to put your shaving kit?
Yeah, sure. It'll go in here. Now, I have 3 more shirts to pack. They'll go on top, but there's another pair of shoes to get in.
Put them here, 1 on each side. There. Okay, I think we can close it now.
Okay. Where's the tag?
What tag, hon?
The name tag that the airline gave me to put on the suitcase. Oh, here it is.
Now, do you have the key?
What key?
The key to lock the suitcase, of course.
It's in the lock, Mom. There's nothing to worry about. There's plenty of time.
Have you forgotten anything?
I hope not.
And you have a safe pocket for your traveler's checks?
Yes, they're in my inside coat pocket.
Do you have a book to read on the plane?
Yes, it's in my briefcase.
What about small change to make phone calls?
Check. I have a pocket full of coins.
Is there someone to meet you in Los Angeles?
No, Mom. I'll rent a car and go to a hotel near the office. They suggested the Hollywood Inn.
Do you have a reservation?
I hope so. I asked them to make it. The hotel reservation, I mean. I reserved the car myself.
Well, take care of yourself and be good. Call us tonight.
Thanks, Mom. I will.
Oh, I nearly forgot. Here's some gum to chew on the plane. You know, when it's coming down.
Oh, Mom, don't worry. I'll be all right. I'll see you next month.
Unit 13. Flying to Los Angeles. Listening 1. At the airport. James is at the Air USA terminal at the airport. He's already checked in. He's been through the security check, and he's gone to the gate to wait for his flight. Listen to the announcements. Look at the screen below. Look at the example and complete the chart in the same way. 1.
This is the last call for flight 932 to Syracuse, now boarding at gate 14. Scheduled departure time is 3:25 p.m.
2.
Flight 217 with nonstop service to Caracas is boarding at gate 34. The flight is 10 minutes behind schedule and will depart at 3:40 p.m.
3.
Flight 558 with service to Hartford, Connecticut and Springfield, Massachusetts is now ready for boarding at gate 26. The flight will depart on schedule at 3:45 p.m.
4.
Air USA flight 563 to Detroit is now pre-boarding. Passengers with small children or who require special help in boarding should go now to gate 12. The flight will leave as scheduled at 4:30.
5.
Will Air USA passenger Rita Chambers, holding a ticket on flight 67, scheduled to depart for San Francisco at 4:30, please go to gate 32 for a new seat assignment prior to boarding. Ms. Rita Chambers, please report to gate 32.
6.
Passengers for Los Angeles, may I please have your attention? Air USA's nonstop service to Los Angeles, flight 811, scheduled to depart at 4:30, has been delayed due to late arrival from London. Flight 811 will now depart at 4:50 from gate 30. Boarding will begin in 15 minutes.
Listening 2. In flight. James is now on the plane. Listen to the announcements and answer these questions. 1.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain, Tom Brown. We'd like to welcome you aboard Flight 811 and to apologize for the delay. We had some bumpy weather over the Atlantic, and arrived late from London. Now we are experiencing another slight delay as we wait for clearance from air traffic control. We don't expect it will be more than 5 minutes, and we hope to arrive in Los Angeles at about 7:30 local time.
2.
This is the captain again. I just wanted to apologize again for the delays and to let you know that we are almost back on schedule. Our Boeing 767 is cruising at an altitude of about 30,000 feet at an airspeed of, around 560 miles per hour. We are above the state of Maryland, and that's Washington, D.C. over to the left of the plane. The temperature in Los Angeles is 79 degrees Fahrenheit, that's 26 degrees centigrade, and it's sunny and clear. Really unusual for Los Angeles. We ask that while you are in your seats, you keep your seat belts fastened, just in case we hit some unexpected turbulence.
3.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are beginning our approach now to Los Angeles International Airport. Please make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened and return your seat and tray to their original upright positions.
4.
We hope you have had a pleasant and enjoyable flight, and we'd like to thank you for flying Air USA today. Please remain in your seat until the plane has come to a complete and final stop at the gate. If you have any questions about connecting flights, please see the Air USA agents who will meet our flight. On behalf of Captain Tom Brown and the rest of the crew, thanks again for flying Air USA.
Beverages on the plane.
Something to drink, sir?
Yeah, yes, thanks. I'd like some club soda.
With lime or without?
With lime, please. How much is that?
It's complimentary. The soft drinks are free.
Great. Will you be serving dinner soon?
Sure. As soon as we finish the beverage service.
Oh, good. What is it?
We have a choice today of lasagna or chicken.
Thanks. Would you mind giving me some more peanuts? I'm getting kind of hungry.
Not at all, sir. Here you go.
In-flight questionnaire.
Excuse me, sir. Would you mind filling out this questionnaire?
What's it about?
It's a survey.
Okay, I'll fill it out.
Auto rental.
May I help you?
Yes. I have a reservation. My name is James Hall. My confirmation number is 750-88821.
750-88821. Just a moment, sir. Yes, I have it. Okay, I just need some information. That's Hall, James. Address?
427 Longwood Avenue, Philadelphia, PA, 19119.
Are you here for business or for pleasure?
Business. I'm supposed to get the corporate discount.
Oh, yes, I see it here. And how long will you need the car?
1 week.
All right. May I see your driver's license and a major credit card?
Just a moment. Oh, no. I left my driver's license in Philadelphia.
Unit 14. Money. Listening. Buying with a credit card. Credit cards can be used in millions of locations worldwide. They can be used for buying things by telephone. This is useful if you want to buy things from another country. Listen to the conversation and complete the credit card sales slip on the left.
Mac Gizmos, this is Mindy speaking. How can I help you?
Hi, I'd like to order some software, please.
Do you have a catalog number?
Yes, I do. It's GKX 371 243.
Please hold. That's the Death Star Defender game on CD-ROM for Macintosh?
That's right.
What city?
I'm calling from London, in Britain.
May I have your name and address?
Yes, it's Simon Alton, that's Alton, 42 Gladstone Terrace, London W6 8BN, England.
Simon Alton, 42 Gladstone Terrace, London W6 8BN, England. And how do you want that sent, Simon? Surface, air, or courier?
A courier.
That will be a total of $89.30, including delivery.
Fine.
And how are you paying?
MasterCard.
May I have your number?
5055-6631-8901-4247.
5055-6631-8901-4247. And the expiration date on the card?
September, next year.
And what is the name actually printed on the card?
Simon W. Alton.
That's great, Simon. Your CD-ROM will be there in a few days. Thank you for calling Matt Gizmos.
Unit 15. Money, money, money. Listening. Bargaining. Lynn Bunker is at a flea market in a small Connecticut town. She's just seen a glass bowl at one of the stands. She collects American glass objects made during the 1930s. She's interested in buying the bowl. Listen to her conversation with the owner of the stand and answer these questions.
Excuse me, how much do you want for this bowl?
Let's see. That's an outstanding piece of Depression glass. In perfect shape. It's worth $150.
$150? Oh, I couldn't possibly pay that much. It's a shame. It really is nice.
Hold on, lady. I said it was worth $150. I'm only asking $115.
$115?
Yeah, it's a real bargain.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But I can't afford that.
Well, look, tell you what I'll do. I'll make it an even 100. I can't go any lower than that.
I'll give you 65.
65? Come on, lady. You've got to be kidding. I paid more than that for it myself. Take it for 90. It's worth every penny.
Well, maybe I could give you 75.
85. That's my final price.
80.
Make it 83.
Okay. 83.
Let me wrap it up for you. There you are, lady. A real bargain.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Unit 16. Inside Story.
ABN Evening News. Young Billy Simpson's ordeal ended abruptly when the two kidnappers returned the boy safely to the Simpson home earlier today. Police Commissioner Ben Hawkins has spoken to the boy and the two kidnappers. We're waiting for the commissioner to arrive to begin his press conference. Ah, here he is now.
Just a few questions, please.
Good evening. As you know, the Simpson boy was returned safe and sound at 2 o'clock this afternoon. The kidnappers were planning to force Mr. Simpson to pay $10 million in ransom for the boy's safe return.
How exactly did they kidnap Billy?
Cobb and Ahern managed to tunnel under a security fence and found Billy fishing alone at the pond. They forced Billy to go with them through the tunnel. Then they made him get into their car and lie down on the back seat. They took him to a remote, wooded area. They made the boy believe that there were wild animals in the area and that he should stay with them to be safe. That's how they forced him to stay with them.
Did they harm Billy?
No. After the first hour at the camp, they let him walk about freely. They were sure that he wouldn't go far. He was too scared. In fact, they made him collect wood for a fire, and he had a great time. That's when he accidentally hit Cobb in the head with a log.
Is that why Cobb looks so terrible?
Well, in part. Billy also got Ahern to go berry picking with him. Ahern didn't realize he was walking through poison ivy. That's why Ahern's got all those rashes on him.
Why didn't Billy get rashes?
He's not affected by poison ivy, but Ahern certainly is.
What else happened to Cobb and Ahern?
Well, this morning, Ahern and Cobb allowed Billy to play near the campsite. Billy wanted to play Tarzan, so he climbed a tree. But he was afraid to climb down. He made Ahern climb up to help him, but Ahern fell off and nearly broke his leg. In his hurry to help his buddy, Cobb tripped over a rock and landed in the campfire. He got burns over 20% of his body. In the meantime, Billy got down from the tree by himself. That's when Ahern and Cobb decided to give up. They drove Billy back to the estate and asked the Simpsons to get them medical attention.
Unit 17. Preferences.
What are you doing tomorrow night?
Nothing. Why?
Well, do you like music?
Yes, I do. Very much.
Which do you like better, country or jazz?
I like both, as a matter of fact.
Well, Joette Davis is playing at the Hoot and Holler. Would you like to go?
Yeah, great. He's one of my favorites.
Hey, Carla, look. They have a fabulous selection of jeans.
Oh, yeah. And they have my size.
Yeah, but only in BCs and Guest.
Yeah. I don't like either one of them very much. I really wanted some rustlers.
But they don't have them in your size. Try a pair of BCs.
No, I'd rather find some rustlers somewhere else.
Well, what movie do you want to see?
A Moment of Peace is at the MCM, too. I'd like to see that.
I'd rather not. Let's see All's Fair.
Oh, no. The reviews were terrible.
But it sounds like fun. A Moment of Peace is in French, and I really don't want to read subtitles.
Then how about California Sunset?
I'd rather not. I can't stand Steve Newman.
Well, you choose then.
You know, I'd much rather stay home and rent a video.
What do you feel like having?
I don't know. There isn't much choice, is there?
No, not really. What would you rather have? Chicken a la King or spaghetti and meatballs?
I can't make up my mind. I just like a tuna fish sandwich.
We can look at the regular menu if you'd like.
Nah, it's not worth it. I'll have the spaghetti.
Unit 18. Earth Day.
Today is Earth Day, and we're here in Central Park for the big cleanup and celebration. We asked some of the people who turned out today what they think we ought to do to help the environment.
Well, I think we'd better do something to protect the tropical rainforest before they're all gone. You know, rainforests only make up like 2% of the Earth's surface, but over half the world's wild plant, animal, and insect species live there. One out of every four pharmaceuticals comes from a plant in a tropical rainforest. We ought to support organizations involved in rainforest conservation, like the Rainforest Action Network in San Francisco.
The most important thing to me is to save and care for all the wildlife in the world. Did you know that by the year 2000, 20% of all Earth species could be lost forever? And we'd better not save only the mammals. We ought to be concerned about the insects, fish, amphibians, reptiles, and plants. I think the governments of the world had better get together and do something.
I'm really worried about the quality of the air we breathe. Cars cause a lot of the air pollution, and everybody ought to do whatever possible to stop it, you know. For example, people ought to drive together or use public transportation. That would keep millions of pounds of pollution out of the atmosphere. People ought to buy cars that get good gas mileage and keep them tuned up and running well. The more gas a car uses, the more pollution it emits. we'd all better support the development and use of cars that use alternative energy sources, like electric cars, solar-powered cars, and cars that run on methane gas.
We better not take the water we have for granted in this country. Every day we consume 450 billion gallons of water. We get this water from our rivers, lakes, and streams, or from groundwater. And we have been careless about how we've treated our water sources. We ought to take better care of the groundwater and keep it safe from pollutants, especially chemicals that people pour down their drains without thinking, or gasoline leaks from underground storage tanks. We'd also better start conserving water.
Unit 19, Night Flight.
This is your captain, John Cook, speaking. We've reached our cruising altitude, and I've just turned off the fasten seatbelt sign. Our estimated time of arrival in Anchorage is 1 a.m., so we've got a long flight ahead of us. I hope you enjoy it. Our flight attendants will be serving dinner shortly. Thank you.
It was Christmas Eve, 1959. A lot of the passengers on the nearly full plane were traveling home to spend the holidays with their families. It was a smooth and quiet flight. The flight attendants had just finished picking up the trays and were in the galley putting things away when the first buzzers sounded. One of the flight attendants went down the aisle to check. When she came back, she looked surprised. "It's amazing," she said. "Even on a smooth flight like this, two people have gotten sick." Twenty minutes later, nearly half the passengers were sick, violently sick. Several were moaning and groaning, some were doubled up in pain, and two were unconscious. Fortunately, there was a doctor on board, and he was helping the flight attendants. He came to the galley and said,
"I'd better speak to the pilot. This is a severe case of food poisoning. I think we'd better land as soon as possible."
"What caused it?" asked one of the flight attendants.
"Well," replied the doctor, "I had the beef for dinner, and I'm fine. The passengers who chose the fish are sick."
The flight attendant led him to the cockpit. The door was jammed. Together, they pushed it open. The captain was lying unconscious behind the door. The co-pilot was slumped across the controls, and the engineer was trying to revive him. The doctor quickly examined the two men.
"Can you land the plane?" the doctor asked the engineer.
"Me? No, I'm not a pilot. We've got to revive them," he replied. "The plane's on automatic pilot. We're okay for a couple of hours."
"They could be out for a long time," said the doctor.
"I'd better contact ground control," said the engineer.
"Maybe you should make an announcement and try to find out if there's a pilot on board," the doctor suggested.
"We can't do that," the flight attendant said. "It'll cause a general panic." Suddenly, she remembered something. "One of the passengers. I overheard him saying that he'd been a pilot. I'll get him." She found the man and asked him to come to the galley. "Didn't you say you used to be a pilot?" she asked.
"Yes. Why?"
She led him to the cockpit. They explained the situation to him.
"You mean you want me to fly the plane?" he asked. "You must be joking. I was a pilot, but I flew single-engined fighter planes, and that was 15 years ago. This thing's got four engines. Isn't there anybody else?" he asked.
"I'm afraid not," said the flight attendant. The man sat down at the controls. His hands were shaking slightly. The engineer connected him to air traffic control.
They told him to keep flying on automatic pilot toward Anchorage and wait for further instructions from an experienced pilot. An hour later, the lights of Anchorage appeared on the horizon. He could see the lights of the runway shining brightly by a lake. Air traffic control told him to keep circling until the fuel gauge registered almost empty. This gave him a chance to get used to handling the controls. Unit 19. Listening. Listen to the end of the story and answer these questions. In the cabin, the flight attendants and the doctor were busy attending to the sick. Several people were unconscious. The plane circled for over half an hour. The passengers had begun to realize that something was wrong.
"What's going on? Why don't we land?" shouted one man. "We've got to get my wife to the hospital."
A woman began sobbing quietly. At last, the plane started its descent.
Suddenly, there was a bump that shook the plane. "We're all going to die," screamed a man.
Even the flight attendants looked worried. "It's all right," someone said. "The pilot just lowered the landing gear, that's all." As the plane approached the runway, they could see fire trucks and ambulances speeding along the runway with their lights flashing. There was a tremendous thump as the wheels hit the tarmac, bounced twice, raced along the runway, and screeched to a halt. The first airport truck was there in seconds.
"That was nearly a perfect landing. Good job," shouted the air traffic controller.
"Thanks," said the man. Any chance of a job?"
Unit 20. The Antique Store.
Anita Jameson and Steve Weaver are antique dealers. They have a very successful business. They travel around the country buying antique furniture and paintings from flea markets, antique stores, and elderly people. Steve has just come out of a little antique store, and he seems very excited.
"Anita, we're in luck. There's a painting in there, a landscape. It's a good one. I thought it might be valuable, so I took a good look at the signature. It isn't very clear, but I think it may be a Winslow Homer."
"A Winslow Homer? It can't be. They're all in museums. They're worth a fortune."
"Well, someone found one a couple of years ago. This might be another one. It's dirty and it isn't in very good condition."
"How much do you think it's worth?"
"I don't know. Maybe a million. It might even be worth more."
"Be careful, Steve. We'd better use the old trick."
"Yeah, right. There's a chair in the window. It must be worth about $20. I'll offer $100 for it. She'll be so happy that she won't think about the painting."
"Don't say you want the painting. Say you want the frame, okay?"
"Fine. You'd better wait in the van. I'd rather do this on my own."
Steve, check the signature before you give her $100 for the chair."
"Don't worry, Anita. I know what I'm doing."
"I'll be with you in a minute."
"I'm interested in that chair in the window."
"What? That old thing? It's been there for years."
"It has? It's very nice. I think it could be Victorian."
"Really?"
"Yes, I think I'm right. I've seen one or two other chairs like it. I think I could get a good price for that in New York. I'll offer you $100.
$100? You must be out of your mind."
No, it's a fair price."
"Well, then, it's yours."
"There you are, then. $100. Goodbye. Oh, by the way, that painting's in a nice frame."
"It's a nice picture, honey. Late 19th century, I've heard."
"Oh, no, it can't be. I've seen lots like it. It must be 20th century. There's no market for them. Still, I could use the frame."
"All right. How much will you give me for it?"
How about $40?
Oh, no, honey. It must be worth more than that. It came from the big house on the hill.
It did. Let me have another look at it. Yes, the frame really is nice. I'll give you $200.
Oh, my. I don't know what to do. You see, I like that painting myself.
All right. $250. That's my final offer.
Let's say $275.
Okay. It's a deal.
Should I wrap it up for you?
No. I have the van outside. It was nice doing business with you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, honey. Thank you. You come back to see us, you hear? Beauregard?
Yes, darling?
I've sold another one of your imitation Winslow Homers. You'd better bring another one downstairs if the paint's dry. The young gentleman who bought it seemed very happy with it.
Unit 21. Noisy Neighbors.
Psst, Ozzy! Ozzy, wake up!
Huh? What? What's the matter? It can't be 7 o'clock already.
No, it's 1:30. It's those people next door again. Listen!
Oh, yeah. They must be having another party.
They must be waking up a whole block. And they have 3 young children. Those kids couldn't be sleeping through that racket. It's disgusting. Somebody should call the police.
They're all laughing. They must be having a good time. They never invite us, do they?
Ozzy?
Yes, dear. What is it now?
Listen! They must be leaving.
At last. Maybe we'll get some sleep.
I hope so. It's nearly 3 o'clock. Good night, dear. Oh, no. Now they're having a fight.
That figures. They always have fights after parties.
Uh-oh. They must be throwing the dishes again.
No. I think that was a vase, dear. Well, maybe the TV set. Or both.
Ozzy, listen. There's someone in the backyard next door.
Huh? It must be a cat.
No, it can't be. It's too loud.
What time is it?
It's 4:45. Who could it be? I'd better take a look. Ooh, it's Howard, and he's carrying a shovel.
Really? You don't think he's killed her, do you?
Well, we haven't heard her voice for a while. No, she's probably sleeping.
But what could he be doing at this time of the morning?
If he has killed her, he might be burying the body.
What? You don't think so, do you?
He couldn't be planting tomatoes, could he? I'm going to ask him what he's doing.
Hello there, Howard. You're up bright and early this morning.
I haven't been to bed yet. We had a party last night. I hope we didn't keep you awake.
Oh, no. We didn't hear a thing. Nothing at all. I slept like a log.
Well, it was a pretty noisy party. My wife knocked over the kid's hamster cage while we were cleaning up. The poor hamster died. I'm just burying him before the kids wake up.
Unit 22. A Sparkling Camp.
It's Friday afternoon in June at the Takabachi Summer Camp. The camp counselors are supposed to be working, but they aren't. The camp has to be ready for the first summer campers. They'll arrive tomorrow. The counselors have had lunch, and they're taking it easy in the counselors' lounge. Their camp director has just opened the door. He's brought the duty roster with him, so he knows exactly what each of them should be doing.
Hey, what's going on here? Terry, what are you doing?
I'm watching TV.
And what are you supposed to be doing?
I'm not sure.
Well, let me tell you, Terry. You're supposed to be cutting the grass.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I'll get right on it.
When I come back, you'd better be cutting the grass. Do you hear me?
OK. Okay, I'm going.
Get a move on, Terry. Remember the Takabashi motto, a sparkling camp by the sparkling water.